You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Here we are on Friday getting together, and I always look forward to it.
We have a couple of questions from our regular listener, Justin, in Berkeley. Hi, guys. Fed Chairman Powell is getting a lot of heat for not lowering the Fed rate. Some people are calling it politically motivated, are exceptionally angry at him. But if what Bob says is true about the Fed following private rates, then I would assume the lending rate cannot be reduced until private lenders are willing to lend money for cheap. Would this imply that private lenders have no interest in loaning money and are afraid of the rate of results?
Yeah, that's about the line. The Fed is a fraud. As its objective is the front of managing interest rates for the good of the economy. Da 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 da. But they don't. They can't. The global financial market sets the level of interest rates, and in a boom, short rates go up, such as treasury bills, and in a bust, short rates go down. So, and the Fed, its endeavor is to look like it's in charge and running things, and it is one of the greatest frauds in history. But at the moment, you had a high for the 3-month treasury bill some weeks ago, and it's declined a little, but there's no downtrend in the T-bill rate. So the Fed is not going to be adjusting the administered rate until T-bill rate starts going down. And who knows? But maybe after August something will happen. I don't know, but and here's the other one, is that the street and academics and think that lowering rates is good. I've seen a few headlines on that this week. Short rates go up in a boom. Short rates go down in the bust. But they are not heading down yet. They just backed off a bit, and watch them closely. And if the T-bill rate turns down, then the Fed can start talking about cutting the administered rate. But there aren't going to be any Fed cuts until the T-bill rate goes down. And also, let's keep in mind that the worst things happen when T-bill rates are falling. We've got a chart here on, I can't remember which year, but maybe in 2007, 2008, where not only did the S&P come down with the T-bill rate, but the steepest drops for both occurred together. So this is a very dangerous myth. The idea that cutting rates will keep prosperity going is just plain wishful thinking and dead wrong. So let's try and lay that one to rest.
Also from Justin, what is the risk of the Fed getting ahead of private rates? Do they not want private lenders arbitraging the difference and making too much money?
Oh, no, that's a little sophisticated. The market is the level of interest rates in the U.S. Treasury bill. It's the world's financial center, and it's the world financial instrument, and it is set by transactions or non-transactions all around the world. So it is a world phenomenon, the T-bill rate in New York.
Why is there so much pressure from the White House to lower interest rates?
Well, they've got Trump is he's a pretty savvy guy, but he's got this idea that the party will get better if they cut rates, and I'm sorry to see that. The only other criticism I have of Trump is that he wears his ties far too long.
Send him some. My question, Bob, is while regular lending rates have come down from central banks, mortgage rates haven't followed. Is that because mortgage rates are set by the international bond market?
Oh, yeah. Mortgage rates, again, are set by market forces. And when they come down, it's the same thing as T-bill rates coming down. It means the party is over. But they don't fall as far as T-bill rates. Like T-bill rates in a really bad recession, they go down to almost zero. Even in 1932, they went down to 0.08 or something like that, if I recall rightly. So declining interest rates is your worst nightmare.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught your attention right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your eye. This one from Zero Hedge. Hedge fund. A tsunami of global liquidity is seeking a safe haven.
Oh, yeah. I love that. A tsunami of global liquidity. But actually, if you look through it, Jim, a good part of that so-called liquidity is borrowed money acting aggressively. And that then also is kind of dangerous. It's fine so long as the game continues. But once the game starts to falter, then you got a problem.
Is that something to do with where people borrow money in Japan for next to nothing and then put it into some other instrument to make money? Is that connected?
Oh, yeah, there can be all kinds of arbitrage things that the market will be seeking out, you know, and it always is finding opportunities, yeah.
Also from Zero Hedge, a reality check for Generation Z, as we say in Canada, or Z in the U.S., green energy requires wealth.
Yeah, I just thought it was a very well-crafted headline. And we put it in that zero requires wealth. Yeah, these guys are all dreamers on this climate thing. One, throughout a billion years of history, warming is beneficial. And cooling and eventually you go going into a minor ice age is not good. You just look under the ice in Antarctica and find out, tell me about how many critters are living down there. Mm. And so anyways, at one time, I can't remember, 300 million years ago, the whole of the world was a global slush ball. So how was life doing then? In that cool spell. So, no, warming has always been very good, and it's taken an incredible promotion to get across the notion that warming is really bad for us. It's amazing. And one of the greatest promotions in history.
Well, human civilization, you can trace it back to the end of the Ice Age.
Yeah.
Once we could grow crops instead of just chase down mastodons and eat them.
Yeah. Well, this is how one of the early settlers on the West Coast is called Kennewick Man, because he was found at Kennewick on the Columbia River down in Oregon. And he arrived there at about 10,000 years ago. And then they can do dental analysis, and they realize that his heritage was the whole coast. He'd come down from Alaska. So anyways, it's a particularly interesting subject for me, but the Ainu in the northern Japanese islands became maritime about 20,000 years ago. And then with Kennewick Man, who was Ainu, he appeared, 9,500 years ago. So once the Ice Age really went, they came here. And also, it proves that the transport was down the coast. They had the skin boats, and they came down the coast. Whereas the standard explanation of people coming from Siberia and into North America is that there was a land bridge, you know, the Ice Age, the ocean was low. And then for some miracle, there was an open ice-free area down the Cordilleran, down the mountains. And, if you're on the Pacific Ocean out here, you're at the grocery store, man. They came down in skin boats, and as I said, Kennewick Man dates back to about 9,500 years ago, and that's a separate good story that one should follow up.
Yes. Well, the Bering Sea is very shallow, so you could see, and of course, the Aleutian Islands. So there is almost a land bridge from here to Asia anyway.
Yeah. They would have gone on the coast. And I think the area that was not covered in ice is called the Refugia. And there are tops of the mountains on Vancouver Island that were not glaciated, but mainly along the coast. And as I said, it was 9,000 sort of years ago when the Ainu came down. And then later on is when what we now consider as North American natives, they came later. And then there's also about 25 different language groups, so there were many migrations coming down from the north there and coming down. So,
and it's normal for humans to move around as climate changes, isn't it? If it gets dry in one area, they move someplace else. Of course, now we have countries and borders and passports and so on that stops the natural flow of humans from bad places to good places.
Well, consider this, that before the Europeans arrived, the settlers, they'd gone all the way down to the southern tip of South America, Tuego
del Fuego.
Yeah. So they were driven by population pressures.
Mm-hmm.
They were maxing out the economy then, and then, of course, along came the Europeans, who came in with modern economic transactions and developing tools and all kinds of things. So, yeah, the local populations, the native populations, as we call them now, they had maxed out the best from the economy that they could with their system, and then it took the Europeans arriving with a different system to create the prosperity that everybody enjoys now.
From Zero Hedge, new home sales plunged in May as mortgage rates rose.
Yep. The key one there is a headline saying plunge. So maybe the boom peaked in January, and it was a global everything boom. So everything didn't go up at the same time, and everything won't come down at the same time, but we're sort of watching for that, because following every great financial bubble has been a great depression. So, but it's not arrived yet, Jim.
From Breitbart, U.S. economy contracts in first quarter as imports surge, spending slows. Was that an effort by people to import things before the Trump tariffs hit?
No, I don't know about that. It's just the headline, Jim. It is, you know, things changing.
Another quarter, would they be in recession if they don't improve?
Oh, yeah, two quarters of minus growth there. Flat growth they consider as a recession. So, but no, it's not. It's not showing yet. But who knows when it'll start to show? Maybe you know, we know that the financial markets often can be very buoyant and good into mid-year. Where are we now, Jim? I'd say mid-year, and then we think that maybe things can turn around through August, and then. If things are going to go bad, they'll be discovered in the fall. That is a classic going way back. It's the old sell in May and go away. It is well-founded.
From CNBC, China's Xiaomi undercuts Tesla with yet another cheaper car.
Oh, yeah, the electric car thing. That is a form of madness, and... let them make as many as they want because they'll jam up and oversupply, and then eventually the fad will be over. Governments will stop subsidizing buying of electric cars, and then thankfully that fad will be over.
Yes, and also one of the things about BYD, Build Your Dream, is what it stands for. They're able to, I guess, with government subsidies in China, they can put out an electric car for 10 to 12 grand, and your Tesla is going to put you back 60 to over 100,000.
Yeah. Well, how long can China's government do that kind of funding? You know, once the credit markets really start to get troubled, China's not going to be able to do any of that stuff. So, and China has been ambitious and reckless, and that is always the markets or the region that gets the treatment once you go into the recession. So, no, I think China will end up, once it starts, will be severely set back.
Is that going to lead to the danger of them invading Taiwan to take their public's mind off a declining economy?
That's a possible, but I think with Trump at the helm of the U.S., China's not going to do that. Taiwan is very important on its own, and I think that the Chinese will just get in such trouble that they throw the communists out of Beijing. That's what's going to happen.
Headline from Reuters, no love for the dollar as markets fret about Fed independence.
Yeah, the dollar is getting hit. There's no question about it. It had the surge at the first of the year with the Trump, you know, being positive about the Trump administration, and then woo, and it is weak, and it has been oversold for quite a few weeks now. So maybe it may try and find the DX may try and find a bottom in here over the next month or so. We'll see. The market will tell the story, Jim.
Is President Trump trying to put artificial pressure on Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, by saying he's already got four people in mind to replace him?
Yeah. As I mentioned, this is something that Trump is just dead wrong on. But then the whole of the world thinks that falling interest rates is good. So, no, I'm disappointed in Trump coming out with that one. But, hey, but it's happening, so...
Bob, do you think the attacks on the Iranian atomic development sites by the U.S. have brought peace to the Middle East?
Oh, yeah. That is... Well, the problem is that with the Biden administration, they then allowed Iran to have billions and sell oil and all that sort of stuff. So Iran funds the terrorism wherever it happens. And and then I am quite convinced that the Ayatollahs, a crazed priesthood with atomic weapons, I believe that they would actually use them. So it's a very good move to take out their ability to make atomic bombs. Now, hopefully, and I haven't seen much written about this, if anything, is that this prompts a reform in Iran, and they throw off the authoritarian priesthood and just go back to being a normal country.
Well, since the attack, there's been a wave of executions in Iran. I guess they're blaming somebody.
Yeah.
You know, the usual suspects for the U.S.'s success.
Yeah. Well, I think it will lead to a popular uprising, and Iran will put paid to the religious zealots who have been running things.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and we look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.